This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Tony, Jonathan Von Tobel with you, kicking off hour two of Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We are live in downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. Remember, if you missed any of the first hour of the program, you can always download Money Moves in podcast form. Listen on your own time. Had a great breakdown of the MLB cards today with VSiN managing editor Adam Burke. Lots of college football, lots of NFL, which will continue today. Coming up in about a half an hour, Jason Jarvis is going to join us of the Circa Friday Football Invitational Professional Better. Get some of his thoughts on the week one NFL slate as we're 24 hours away from officially getting this bad boy underway. Also, you want to join in on any of the conversation, you can always tweet at us, at MeJVT, at StormBonAndTony, or check out the email, moneymoves@vsin.com. Billy Charlebois chiming in about the QR code situation. For anyone who missed it, I am very anti-QR codes at restaurants for the menu, especially if you have to order online.
Got quite a few of these, actually.
It really bothers me. Billy says, every time I use the code, the menu is either wrong or I have to scroll on a tiny screen, and what would be four menu pages is 18 pages on a phone. Nothing like scrolling, ordering, and finding out the item doesn't exist.
Billy, happy 87th birthday, by the way.
Stop. I'm in complete agreement with you, Billy. Also, so I was at the airport, obviously, this weekend.
Obviously.
And after my game, I'm trying to get food. So this is very fresh in my mind because it was one of these situations. I ordered a couple drinks while I was thinking about what I wanted to order for the food. The waitress, if you could even call her that, comes over and says, are you ready to order? And I was like, oh, okay. And I was like, maybe we are just able to order with you after all. And she goes, no, you have to do it on your phone. Then why ask? I already ordered drinks. You saw that I know how to use it.
Because she knows technologically illiterate folks like yourself need help when all you really need to do is learn how to read the English language.
It's ridiculous. What are the other posts that you saw?
Let's see. You got Billy. Kenny Dillingham Sexual says, I agree. I need my phone to check scores, gamble, ignore my wife, etc. I can't be bothered to also use it as a menu. And then Patrick checks in and says, I don't live online. Says JVT as he tells Storm Bonatoni during a segment while browsing his phone. As, of course, I am on my laptop looking at a couple of texts. Patrick, I would like to say that everything I look at on my phone is related to work. Thank you very much.
With Kenny Dillingham Sexual chiming in, any interest in Arizona State this week at Texas A&M? Any thoughts?
It's going to be a lopsided affair, potentially. Go ahead.
The reason that I wanted to talk about this game at some point was just because...
I know what you're going to say.
The body clock?
Oh, no. Okay, go on.
No, that's the thing that's always interesting to me about some of these West Coast teams that have to go to the Central or Eastern time zone and play an 11 o'clock or noon local kickoff, depending on where you're at. Obviously, it's an 11 a.m. Central time. They're in the Pacific time zone right now, this time of year, Arizona is, so it's like a 9 a.m. body clock start for them.
Does that matter?
That's why I'm asking you. I don't know. I've actually never covered one.
I know that in the NFL, that has been a largely dispelled myth. You know, and this was actually a couple of years ago. I'll have to go back and get the actual results for you and update it. But it was, and I'm ballparking this, but in the NFL at least, the teams that had gone from like west to east and played from like 2000 and I want to say 18 or 19, maybe even later onward, it was actually a winning ATS record. It didn't really matter that much. Now they're professionals, yada, yada, whatever. But I think that tends to be, as I like to make fun of, you know, the old school, like, you know, coming back from a long road trip and you got to pay your bills and take care of your wife. Like, it's like a old school handicapping angle. I think that as well. They're not, like, for the most part, jammed into these planes like sardines or whatnot. They're given food. They're taken care of for the most part. So I don't think it's that bad.
Was it Fresno State and USC or, like, some sort of a West Coast matchup like that a couple years ago that had to start at, like, actual 9 a.m. Pacific time?
It sounds about right.
I can't remember what it was, but it was, like, 2 or 3 years ago.
I know it was a couple of years ago. That wasn't at Michigan State that had to go, or your USC, one of those teams. I think it was USC that had to go across, play was, like, Illinois or somebody in the Eastern time zone at, like, 9 a.m. and then come back and play, like, an 8:15 Eastern Pacific kickoff. Yeah. It was like week to week, and people thought that was going to be some big deal.
Just ridiculous. Okay, let's go. Let's not bury the lead anymore. The bell of the ball.
But I'm sorry, because I brought up the Arizona State thing. I thought you were going to mention Kenny Dillingham's like apologizing for using the term Wildcat.
Oh, I didn't see that.
For some of
this.
His offensive stuff. Yeah.
I didn't see that.
Okay.
No.
Seems a little extreme. Texas A&M 14.5 point favorite. I am interested in this game. I will say just a quick analysis on this. As somebody who's not like big on Texas A&M, I'd like to see a step up in competition here and see how they handle it being a 14.5 point favorite.
Total 50.5 there. The game of the week, of course, though, is Ohio State, Texas. Texas, by the way, does move up from number 5 to number 4 in the AP poll that came out within the last hour. Texas, short home favorite in this one, up from 1 to 1.5. First time that the Buckeyes have been a dog since 2023 against Michigan. And I did find this at least somewhat interesting. And listen, a lot of these matchups are, you know, top 10 on top 10 opponents here. But number one ranked teams as an underdog last 10 seasons. 5 instances here. All 5 lost. Last year, it was Texas. They were 1.5-point dog at Ohio State. Lose by 7. 2024, top ranked Oregon. 2.5-point dog against number 6-ranked Ohio State, lose by 20. 2022, top-ranked Tennessee was a dog to Georgia. They lose by 14. That was a weird rain game, though, if you remember.
You know, do you have the line for that one?
10.
Okay, yep.
21, Alabama getting 2.5 against Georgia, lose by 15. And then 2017, top-ranked Clemson, a 3.5-point dog at Alabama, lose by 18.
Yeah, so 4 of the 5 coin flips, and the other was an overranked Tennessee team that I think we all remember at that point, too. So,
no, but I'm saying all of these were like top 5, top 6 matchups.
Yeah. No, but you know me, like in terms
but
of
just,
like.
It's just interesting that.
Yeah. Look, these are good games. That was my whole point.
All of the top ranked team is a dog loss.
Yep. And these are tough spots to be in. Obviously, the old school handicapping angle of the revenge spot for Texas, right? You go out last year, you open up the season, you go out there, you lose. Was that 10-7 or whatever that final was? Had an opportunity to win it. You can't really get it done. Now here we go. Big litmus test for Texas, too. I'm somebody who's a Longhorn believer. I like the additions they made along the offensive line. I think that's really going to help them out. When I was writing up Texas in the SEC, one of the things that I did question was, is the secondary going to be better? Because they did have some questions about that last year. And this is a big test of Jeremiah Smith and company coming in. I do, like, to me, it's going to be Texas or nothing. I think that at home, in a revenge spot, I believe in the general improvements that Texas has made, and I think that's going to be enough for them here. And from a power rating standpoint as well, again, home field advantage is pretty strong in college. So I know the market is telling us that Ohio State is the better team on a neutral, but I don't know, man. I don't know if I believe that to be the case. I think this Texas team is on par with them, so 1.5 to me seems like the play.
I think both teams' offensive line play is going to be critical, and we, based on their week one opponents, don't really know if it looks the way that we think it should. So I'm very curious to see how that plays out. Number two, well, previously number two, I guess, is Oregon 6 now? Is that where they fell?
I believe so.
Yes, from 2 to 6, the Oregon Ducks laying 22.5 against Oklahoma State on the road here. I think safe to say outside of Michigan, two of the other more, maybe most disappointing performances from week one, the Ducks were pushed to the brink against Boise State, Oklahoma State, who's been this offseason darling. All the talk about the bulk of this team from North Texas, their coaching staff, all of their players coming over. This is going to, they're going to go from a 1-win to 7-win team, whatever it is. They lose to Tulsa.
They only
scored 10 points against Tulsa.
I'm kicking myself because I've been the one, whenever we brought up Oklahoma State, it's just been one of those, like, are we sure this is going to hit the ground running? Are we sure that Drew Mestemaker, who's got like 1 year of football under his belt, I'm being somewhat hyperbolic, but still, right? He's not played a ton of high-level football. It's just going to go out there and just guns ablaze and kill it. 2 interceptions, 4.9 yards per attempt.
Lost fumble as well.
Yep, a lost fumble. I mean, this is a team that, like, Oklahoma State, and they were double-digit favorites on the road. Like, this was such a wildly disappointing performance, and obviously the outright loss. If you were going to bank on a bounce back, I mean, Oregon going on the road, if Lanning has the opportunity, he will pour it on to somebody. And this looks like one where I think they can go out there and potentially do just that. I am very interested in this Oregon side this weekend, for sure.
And I'll say Dante Moore still looked the part, even though the team as a whole did not. 378 yards, 3 touchdowns for him, played clean, did what was asked of him. Meanwhile, let's go to that Michigan team that I mentioned, who falls out of the top 25 altogether from 16 to out at home against Oklahoma. And a point that we brought up yesterday, rightfully so, is the last thing I want to do if I've got a struggling quarterback is have to play one of the best defenses in all of college football and what that group is going to have coming at you. What do you make of the line movement on this thing? Because prior to the weekend, Oklahoma was only a 1.5-point road favorite. It got all the way up to 6.5. Now we're seeing 5.5s out there. So a little bit of buyback on the other side. Maybe 6.5 was too high. You agree?
I mean, yeah, I think so. I think, again, it's one result. We'll see what happens as they can get better. We've seen it time and again where teams just say, look, it's the first game of a season, whatever it is. Remember, it's a new coaching staff, a new offense. Bryce Underwood's working things out. Now, your point is a very strong one, which is, okay, yeah, but now you got to face like arguably the best defense in the country. That's not really great, but you're at home where you're getting favorable clock management. So that could help you out here a little bit too. But I'm going to be curious when we get to this weekend and the public starts to make their opinion known and whether or not we start to get this back up to that 6.5 or if we start to get some buyback. 5.5 is pretty dead. So that'll, I think, sit out there for a little bit. But if you get me back up to that 6.5, God forbid it gets to 7. I'd be willing to go down on the ship with Michigan for sure, but I don't think it would get to 7.
We had a number of other games highlighted, but only 2 minutes to go. What do you want to hit?
Okay. You thought I was shocked. You were shocked by this, but I will say, I don't know if I fully buy in yet on Utah. So
why?
They're up to 12.
They got rid of Kyle Whittingham. They're great now.
I mean, they're 12.5 point favorites. We'll see eventually where this thing ends up. Again, you're rebuilding offensive and defensive lines and whatnot. And I know that the hire for Arkansas was kind of frowned upon. So this is just a theory of, again, similar to Oklahoma State, right? And now I'm regretting not playing on that theory. But this time around, this is just one of those where I'm just like, I don't know if everything's copacetic with Utah. And now asking them to cover a big number against an arguably more competent opponent in Arkansas. I do wonder if there's going to be something here where Arkansas, if it gets that like 14-point range, we'll see if it does, if Arkansas is pretty alive to stay inside of this. But as you mentioned, it's nighttime. Once the sun goes down out there, something different.
Listen, I'm just saying.
I love college
night
football.
Game,
I got to say, you college football nerds, and I like college football. But I just love when the analysis is invoking when the sun goes down.
No, I'm just saying there's something special about a night game at Rice-Eccles Stadium and the Muskets going.
Moonlight's
that's all I'm saying.
Hit just
also,
right off those Dr. Pepper cans.
Do you know how big a favorite Arkansas was against North Alabama last week?
Not that in my head.
Do you
no.
know? 40.5. Mm. They won 31-14.
Mm-hmm. Not showing their hand.
Please.
So you're laying.
Please. I'm not betting this game.
See, exactly. I love this. I always love the, come on, this is ridiculous. Oh, then you're going to bet it. No.
No. It's just the way that you're coming at it, I think, is a little too hot.
God, your love for the state of Utah, man, the Beehive
they're
State.
They're my people.
No more ardent defender than Stormy.
People.
VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Roll along Tuesday edition of Money Moves in downtown Las Vegas. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel here. Before we move on to a fun new market that is out and available in the National Football League, I did just want to give you the floor for a couple more minutes since I was really forcing my hand last segment on the college football games I wanted to discuss. So are there any more that you want to hit? Well, I know that we all picked together what we wanted to do, but I was just going in order and there's like 5 more games that we didn't get to. So anything that you really wanted to get out?
I'm watching Peyton Watson's self-creation highlights on Twitter. So you can do whatever you want. Basketball season's right around the corner, man.
You've got...
Look at, I'm serious. Look at, corroborate for our audience what is on my screen in full screen right now.
This is what we were talking about earlier, how, you know, you were talking about how busy you are, but then maybe you actually get up too early because you have too much time on your hands.
No.
This is not supposed to be a time you have time on your hands. You're actually supposed to be locked in and
I am
engaged
locked in.
And what we're talking about.
I actually have a point to make on Texas Ohio State. I recorded a promo in the break. I also got something ready for this segment. Notice that you had stolen 2 of my selections for the upcoming segment that we have. As
2?
Well as, oh, sorry, just one. And
well,
I just wanted
one
you
that
to admit it.
That we've already talked about, by the way, so it wasn't stealing.
While also watching Peyton Watson highlights. So I'm actually multitasking right here.
I don't know. One would argue you have a problem. Also talked about some self-harm in the commercial break as well. So
that's something
that in
else.
Mind.
All right. Really quickly, as Colin Murphy says, JVT, don't mess with the Storm and Mormon at Stormy Bonantoni. Very true. I shall not do that anymore. Second,
my name is actually Stormy Norman.
Yep,
so thank
that
you
is
very much.
True. But I just wanted to point out that from a rating standpoint, Jeff Sangren does have Texas as the slightly better team than Ohio State, if you buy into those sort of things. And I personally do.
And they are?
What do you mean, and they are?
Favored at home.
Yeah, but ever so slightly. What I'm saying is they're rated as the better team, plus you have to factor in home field advantage. They're only 1.5. According to Jeff here, home field advantage probably about like 2.4, so I would tell you that it probably should be laying a little bit more if it's Texas.
All right, let's get into the NFL then, because there is a market that you've pointed out a number of times that once it populated – that we wanted to discuss. Assistant Coach of the Year. It is posted officially at DraftKings, and there are some good potential plays to be made here. Before we dive into the market, last 5 years, just to give you some background on the types of coaches that have won. Why? Is that so wrong?
No, I'm not. That's why I didn't look at any historical things, because I knew that. I was like, Story's going to look this stuff
up. Thank you. Josh McDaniel, your winner last year for the Patriots offensive turnaround. Obviously, they end up going on to the Super Bowl, and Drake May has an MVP caliber season. Ben Johnson the year before that in Detroit when they had the league's top offense and number one seed. Jim Schwartz, when he was a first-year coordinator back in Cleveland, what he did with the Browns defense in 2023, go to 2022, DeMeco Ryans, defense carried the way for San Francisco. They were number three in the league, 13-4 that year, went to the NFC title game despite all of the quarterback turnover. Remember, that was the year they started with Trey Lance, Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, yeah, we get it. You're a 49ers fan. Yeah.
2021, Dan Quinn, first-year DC in Dallas. Team goes from 6-10 to 12-5. Defensively, they got better from 28th in the league to 7th. So some of the primary keys that you're going to be looking for here in this market, you need a big unit turnaround or to be the best in the league in your respective side of the ball. You need the team to win a lot of games. Definitely more than you won the year before, at least based on recent history. On average, just shy of four games better over the course of the last decade. So there are just some primary keys for you to be on the lookout for as you're looking at this menu of names. The favorite, I think, is not a surprise to anyone in that it is Mike McDaniels and all the hypes that he has gotten as a new offensive coordinator for the Chargers.
And I believe we've called this on this program. I think we said that he's going to be a short shot, if not the favorite, to win this thing. Narratively, every single one of these football nerds loves Justin Herbert and the potential and all sorts of stuff. So McDaniel
unlocking what he can do in Omarion Hampton, the run game, all that.
And film nerds love to just glaze, as the kids would say, Mike McDaniel, his running game, all that kind of stuff. So I think it makes a ton of sense that he would be the short shot. I would agree, rightful favorite to somebody who's relatively high on this. So I think there's a couple of ways that you could look at this with a bunch of different names. So I picked out a few. I know you did too. The one that you stole from me that we'll agree
this
on
is
here.
Not a, this is not stealing. We talked about this when we broke down the Eagles and every time that we've talked about the Eagles since.
And I brought up this market first. You had no idea. Sean Mannion, 20-1 offensive coordinator for the Philadelphia Eagles. Getting a lot of preseason hype. So too is Declan Doyle. I know he's on your list, so we could talk about them kind of, I think, together. But the whole point here being is you've got these guys that are kind of stepping out, getting their first shot at these offensive coordinator jobs. Mannion comes over, having worked at Green Bay, now getting a shot to run and turn around this offense. It's worth noting that the Eagles have had a lot of success when they go out of the building to bring in some of these offensive minds. So we'll see if that really does continue to build. But Mannion's getting a ton of hype. And if he, I don't want to say unlock Jalen Hurts because that insinuates that he has not been good. But if this all of a sudden becomes a highly efficient Jalen Hurts, the ability to throw over the middle, this offense thrusts itself into a top five efficiency mark, all those sort of things. I think you bring up a great point. There's not going to be a massive team turnaround here, but there could be a really big offensive spike. And the added narrative of losing A.J. Brown while also turning this into an offense that is going to be pretty good potentially. And Mannion has the eye already of these football nerds that are going to decide this award. I think all of those things put together are 20-1. That seems like something worth looking at.
I thought that was the best value on the board. This is a team that was bottom 12 in the league in basically every major offensive statistic last year. One that really stood out to me where they were particularly poor was third down conversions, just 28%, which was the worst rate in the NFL. That's higher than the Browns and higher than the Titans last year when you think about the way that those offenses struggled. And given how much, I think, outward frustration there was around Kevin Petullo and how bad that it looked, that's just going to add another feather in the cap to Sean Mannion and what this could look like. So, yes, 20-1, I think that looks really good. Do you want to talk Declan Doyle here real quickly?
You pointed them out, so I'll give the floor to you, but I think I would assume that you're a lot of similar things we're talking about here, right? Doyle coming from the Ben Johnson tree, really getting this offense to emerge as highly efficient. The thing that I think turns me off a little bit for Doyle is, from a voting standpoint, it's not like the Ravens have been awful on offense the last few years. You've got a guy who's won the MVP twice. Is he realistically, like, what will he have to achieve, I'll put it that way, for him to realistically win this award against some of his contemporaries? And again, unlike Coach of the Year, we should point this out, this is a much larger sample size of guys you have to beat, right? You have to beat out special teams assistants. You have to beat out defensive assistants and fellow offensive coordinators. If you're Coach of the Year, you're beating out 31 other guys. If you're Assistant Coach of the Year, do the effing math. Like, that's a lot of guys that you have to beat out for this award.
I think you need your quarterback to stay healthy to help you out and have an MVP caliber season, but I think that's also entirely within the wheelhouse of possibility for the Ravens. And this is a team, too, that last year, yes, despite, if you actually look at the numbers and where they ranked within the context of the league, it was wasn't terrible to your earlier assessment, right? Around 25 points per game was 11th in the league, 333 yards per game, 16th. But that was also the fewest total yards per game in any season that the Ravens have had since 2017. So it was a very bad down year by their standards. So if you're able to, like we're talking about, turn this around, it's still a pretty decent double-digit price here at 13-1. Where do you want to go next? Because you're like my other, I had another short shot in the Cowboys DC, Christian Parker at 14-1.
That's a good one, by the way. I like that.
Just talking about like the expected turnaround we expect from a team that was the literal worst in the entire league last year and all of the pieces they brought in, he's going to be the mastermind behind that. So I did a couple of short shots. You have all long shots.
So similar path to walk down for Dallas and Christian Parker. You have a team that is invested defensively, that has signed multiple starters, that was the third worst defense by standards, like expected points added per play, success rate, things like that. If the Bengals are everything I think they're going to be, and Al Golden has a defense that has a bunch of shiny new toys that all of a sudden could leap its way up to like top 10 potentially in the National Football League. We'll see if that's actually going to be the case. But I don't think it's insane to think that Golden could win assistant coach of the year at 75-1.
I thought that number was too long. I'll agree with
you. Considering the potential of a group that has three new starters and a bunch of other guys that they added depth-wise?
Yeah. I think the Cowboys defense will be better between those two units this year. So that's why I went more of the direction that I did. And they were statistically worse as well. So if they can be the worst team in the league that then gets better than the Bengals defense, I think that gives him the edge. And that's why he's significantly shorter, obviously. But I did think 75-1 was too short considering the upgrades that they have on that side of the ball. And him, again, to use that word, being the architect of what it's going to look like. One of my longer shots I'm curious your opinion on is if Nick Caley, the Texans offensive coordinator at 40-1, can fix what has happened with this offense, the offensive line, CJ Stroud, get him back to rookie form. I think that could be a very attractive look as well.
It's one of the strongest narrative ones out there, isn't it? Just the ability to get this team back, especially after what we saw last. So if CJ Stroud is all of a sudden back to the form of, hey, top 10-ish quarterback, closer to obviously 10 than one, but if that's all of a sudden something that changes, paired with a defense, it's going to be incredible. Like one of my additions was Matt Burke, the Texans defensive coordinator at 30-1, just along similar mindsets. If we just know how good this defense is. Although I think D'Amico gets a little bit more credit for the construction. Either way, I think it makes a ton of sense. And I'll also point out really quickly, the other addition for me was Jim Leonard. If you're somebody that does buy into Buffalo, I'm not, but I just wanted to throw that out there. Scheme change, lost over 2,600 snaps from a year ago. And if they're a top 10 defense, again, probably about 10 or so, that's a really good turnaround for Leonard. So if you buy Buffalo, Leonard might be worth adding at 30-1.
Man, I'm so glad that it's football season. And you know football season also means tailgating season, which means it's time for barbecue. And since 1917, Omaha Steaks has been America's original butcher, five generations of uncompromising quality, backed by an unconditional 100% money-back guarantee. Every steak, burger, dog, brat, it's all 100% American beef, aged for tenderness, no exceptions. And get this, right now, two free pounds of 100% American ultra-premium ground beef on any order of $129 or more. Make game day more delicious. Head over to omahasteaks.com/vsin. Again, omahasteaks.com/VSIN. See site for details.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Circa Friday Football Invitational is back again. 25 sharp bettors all competing for the right to win this year's green jacket and some money, I heard. You know, rumor has it. The contest officially, though, begins this Friday, September 11th, continues each Friday through January 22nd, that final pick for the college football playoff national championship. But it is college football plays, it's NFL plays each and every week. Jason Jarvis, professional bettor, back in the field this year, kind enough to join us on the Progressive guest line. You can follow him on X at JJarvNFLBets. Also check out JasonJarvisNFL.com. How pumped are you that we are finally here? Football is back, baby.
I am so excited. Appreciate you guys having me today.
All right, let's get started right away then, Jason. Tomorrow we get our debut of the 2026 NFL season. New England on the road against Seattle. Prominent number, about 3, juice to the favorite side. Total's 44, 44 and a half. How are we going to play this one?
Yeah, you know, living in New England, the Patriots have always been my nemesis team. I've lost more money on them, I think, betting against Tom Brady over 2 decades, and I know that's not smart, But just being honest, I know there have been plenty of distractions with Vrabel during the offseason, but I think back to what the Patriots offense did last year without a true wide receiver number one, and you now add A.J. Brown to that offense as a clear number one, I just don't see why there's going to be a lot of regression there. You know, Seattle had a heck of a run last year. Mike McDonald's an excellent coach. But now you have a rookie running back replacing the Super Bowl MVP in Kenneth Walker. And, you know, let's face it, a team who celebrated the championship all offseason versus a team now who fell one game short and gets to kind of extract that little bit of revenge to start the season. I know Trevion Henderson's questionable for the game, but I still think New England keeps this a one-score game. And I think they have a good chance at winning outright. So I already gave out a two-team, seven-point tease to my subscribers with the Patriots as that first leg getting 10.5 points. And I think that the line dropped from 3.5 to 3. So I like where we sit on that one.
No, I like that angle. The revenge element for sure. We are at a 3.5. Meanwhile, for the Thursday game out there in Melbourne, Australia, 49ers and Rams going head to head here. So much has been made of the difference of travel for each of these teams. 49ers have been out there for the past week. The Rams doing the quick 24-hour turnaround, trying to stay on that LA clock. Does that come into your handicap at all here? Or if not, what were your thoughts on the game? Again, 3.5, that spread, total 48.5.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. You mentioned the travel. The Rams, they're flying halfway across the world just a day or two in advance, right, while San Fran's been there all week kind of acclimating. It hasn't always made a difference in the international games, but this is a much further trip than the games that have been played in Europe. So, you know, as for the game itself, I can't remember a team in recent history who's gotten the preseason hype the way the Rams have. You know, 5-1 to win the Super Bowl is an extremely short number, but I get it. You know, their offense was a juggernaut loss last season. You know, you add the best defensive player in the league now to your roster and then re-add the best defensive lineman to ever play the game, or at least one of them, after his brief retirement. And you know, it all makes sense. And I'm not saying the Rams won't win the Super Bowl or be in contention at the end of the season, but, you know, the NFL season's a marathon, not a sprint. I'm not going to be shocked if the Rams look somewhat pedestrian based on the travel. And, you know, I wouldn't even be surprised if the 49ers win the game outright. San Fran's a veteran team. They've got plenty of skill players on both sides of the ball. You know, these are bitter division rivals, and I think it's going to be a close game. So the other team that I used with New England was San Fran, also at 10.5. I think both dogs are live, have an opportunity to win, but I really like both the Niners and the Patriots getting 10.5 points in a seven-point teaser.
All right, let's head to Sunday. A lot of really good games. One of the sides that I'm trying to convince Stormy to use is the New Orleans Saints in our million entry, especially if we get 7 against the Detroit Lions. What do you expect from this matchup between these two? Total 49.5.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, right? Let's face it. Week one in the NFL, it's the absolute best, but it certainly can leave some carnage when it comes from a survivor standpoint. And a few of the games I was going to talk about today, I'm trying to think. I think last year the Raiders went into Foxborough, shot the Patriots. The year before that, it was the Patriots that stunned the Bengals. So, there's almost not a question of will there be an upset, but more so who's the team that's going to kind of create the chaos in week one. The Saints are a team that I'm really high on heading into the season. I like what I saw out of Kellen Moore and his team the second half of last season. I think Tyler Shuck really had an impressive rookie season. And by the end of the year, you know, he was looking like a quarterback who could constantly run an offense. You know, add to that now, you bring over Travis Etienne, who should step right in and fill the void of an aging Alvin Kamara. Couple that with Chris Olave and Jordan Tyson, who I know he's starting the year on the IR. But once healthy, that's going to really provide a nice 1-2 punch at the receiver. Juwan Jennings is a pretty big target at tight end. He's more than adequate. And I think their O-line is going to be pretty solid. You know, they're led by the second-year tackle, Kelvin Banks, who had a really strong rookie season. I think that they could be an above-average line. Excuse me. Couple that with their defense that's, you know, it's adequate. They're not going to lead the league in sacks. But I think their edge is currently stronger than the interior D-line. And they might be able to put some pressure on Goff, perhaps cause a turnover or two. You know, the Lions are dealing with their own issues on the O-line. They obviously lost starting center Cade Mays earlier in the summer. And, you know, Gibbs is just a beast, and he can make an average O-line look elite at times with his Barry Sanders-like elusiveness, but it's their defense that has a lot more questions. You know, Brian Branch, Kirby Joseph, they're both starting the season on the IR. They've got some other starters who are questionable. So I really like the Saints in this game, getting 7 points. And I truthfully, I wouldn't be shocked if they pull off an outright upset and win on the field.
Jason Jarvis, professional bettor, joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line, going to be back in the Circa Friday Football Invitational that starts this week. Meanwhile, one that we did agree on as our Circa Millions ATS plays this week was the Arizona Cardinals getting 10.5 points taken on the Chargers. And we know the Chargers are going to be the most popular team picked this week in Survivor and all of the things that come with that. But we've kind of had the idea that maybe we get so stuck in our ways in the offseason about what a team's going to be and how bad they're going to be. But week one can be such a bleep show. Who really knows what we're going to get? Are you in agreement with the Arizona Cardinals potentially being overlooked a little bit too much, maybe? Or do you think the Chargers will dominate? How do you see it?
Well, you know, I know everyone's excited to see what the Chargers offense looks like with the new coordinator, Mike McDaniel. You know, he actually gets to work with a quarterback now with a rocket of an arm in Justin Herbert. And I imagine it's going to look just a smidge different than what we saw with Tua the last few years in Miami. You know, the bottom line is I think the Chargers are a solid team, an above-average coach in Jim Harbaugh, and I think that they're going to be there at the end of the year contending with Denver and KC as, you know, a battle to win the division. But I actually bet this game last month when it was 11.5, and I would still recommend it even at 10.5 where it currently sets. I think it's down at 10 in some markets. But to me, the Cardinals have one of the lowest NFL season win totals at 3.5. And rightfully so. If you look at their schedule, it's nothing short of murderer's row. But, you know, I think back to the second half of last season, and I really liked what I saw from Jacoby Brissett in that offense. You know, the team played hard for him. I think the offense is actually going to put up a lot of points this season. You know, Michael Wilson demonstrated last year he has what it takes to really be an elite receiver in the league. He was recently rewarded with a new contract. You know, Marvin Harrison has all the tools to be elite if he can just figure out how to catch the ball with a little more consistency. And you've got arguably the best tight end in football in Trey McBride, and I know that Brock Bowers fans would probably say otherwise, but you've got all that. Now you're about to unleash the number 3 overall pick in your backfield with Jeremiah Love, who, you know, he's got the potential to develop into an elite running back, perhaps, you know, similar to a Bijan-type player. So, you know, Hackett has a ton of weapons on offense, and they're going to need them because, you know, the defense is definitely going to be the Achilles heel. But I wouldn't be surprised if the Cardinals are one of those teams who we say at the end of the season is the best 2-15 or 3-14 team that the league has ever seen. You know, I think that they're going to show a lot of fight this season. The record might not be indicative of that. But, you know, the question is, can they shock the league in week one? And it's a long shot. But I wouldn't be floored if they were a team that also blew up Survivor this week just based on recent history. But whether they win or lose the field, I still think that they're going to be good enough on offense to cover a double-digit spread.
Jason, we're up against the break. Only about 30 seconds left with you, but I know you've got a webinar coming up tonight at jasonjarvisnfl.com, 8 o'clock Eastern, free to register. What can people expect when they join?
Yeah, no, I appreciate you bringing that up. I mean, I've had a lot of success over the last 5 years. I think I've got the highest win percentage of any entry in Circa Millions over that 5-year period at 60%. So it's really just trying to help, you know, bettors out there of all levels, educate them on what I have figured out over the years. Because I'll be honest, it took years and years of losing for me to finally figure out how to win in the NFL. And just trying to share some of what I think is relevant and what bettors should be picking up on and trying to, you know, improve upon as they work on their NFL handicapping going forward this season and next.
Going to be awesome. Thank you for the time today, Jason. We appreciate it, and we'll keep bugging you throughout the course of the season. Get ready.
Sounds great, guys. Take care. Thanks for having
me. Thanks, Jason.
Again, everybody, that webinar later on tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern, jasonjarvisnfl.com/webinar if you want to go directly to that page, but completely free, live on Zoom. Going to be awesome tonight. We're wrapping things up here on Money Moves next. Stick around. Best bets coming at you after this.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
over. College football is back on our screens. The NFL season's kicking off tomorrow, and now's the time to get your edge with VSiN Pro. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. That'll get you instant access to our updated NFL betting guide with post-preseason updates, week one betting systems, best bets, contest strategies, and all from your VSiN experts and analysts. You'll also get our college football betting guide with previews of all 138 FBS teams. Plus, if you sign up now, you get daily best bets, real-time bet splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, and so much more. Unlimited access to the website is key here. Get started for just $9.99, or you can save 50% with a VSiN Pro subscription. Again, that's vsin.com/subscribe to sign up, $9.99, or save 50% off if you go with the annual subscription. He's Jonathan Montobel. Story about Tony with you as we wrap up this Tuesday edition of the program. And I'm a little bit nervous because right as we were coming back from the break, JVT told me that we have important breaking news about my 49ers, and you don't look happy.
No.
So does that mean George Kittle is playing?
I just, you know, sometimes people just make you do this, right?
What happened?
Just kind of contemplate what's going on with life. Dre Greenlaw asked in media availability today, do you have any questions you would want to ask Australians? Quote, I mean, how far are we from Antarctica? That's what I got. We're on right on top of it, right? Does it snow probably pretty bad there? So Antarctica, is it a lie? After being told the continent is indeed real, Dre Greenlaw responded, quote,
have
y'all been there before?
Yeah.
What are we doing, dude?
I saw that exchange. It was actually pretty funny to watch the clip of him doing it, though.
What are we doing?
Because he's like, oh, you've been there? So you don't know. It's pretty funny.
I have not honestly been to France, but you know what? I kind of believe that it's there.
Can we say the 49ers pressers this week have been awesome? First, we had all of the living in the future stuff from Kyle Shanahan and what it's like segmenting the week. It's a Wednesday, it's a Tuesday, whatever, trying to get back to his family. I thought that was all great. Christian McCaffrey talking about the Australian coffee. There's been a lot of really good sound bites that have come out of Melbourne.
Indeed. Your team's screwed. They're done.
I know that you disagree because you already said if it gets to four that you would be intrigued.
Yeah.
And we just heard from a professional bettor, Jason Jarvis, that he likes the 49ers too.
I would agree.
So then you just lied.
I know. But I'm just saying, you don't really love that.
You don't really love what?
That.
Oh, that. No, I thought it was funny.
I mean, come on now. Antarctica.
It's still not as good as the Sabrina Ionescu Statue of Liberty situation.
That is
situation.
Quite literally the dumbest thing I've ever heard an athlete say.
If you have not seen that video, you have not lived. So get on Twitter or something.
Sabrina Ionescu guessing the height of the Statue of Liberty, and her first guess was 10 feet. I can't.
It's so good,
that's
though.
That's the height of
and
a basketball
hoop. And though. That's what makes it so much funnier is it was just instant. What? I don't know, like 10 feet?
That's insane.
What else is insane? Potentially, I haven't heard the clip yet, so I'm interested to play it for us all and see how this goes. Dabo Sweeney's reaction to, obviously, the significant loss against LSU in its season opener when asked about if he has any regrets about the roster construction.
I don't, man. I regret being 0-1 right now. I regret that. But... No, what can you ask me that at the end of the season? You know, the season ain't over. I mean, we got one game, we got 11 more. What if we go 11-1? You promised me you asked me that then?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I'll answer it.
Yeah.
All right, but I'm not answering questions like that, you know, Chapel. I know that's your role, and that's in this environment, you know, to be the guy that wants to create all the controversy and ask the controversial questions. If that's who you are, that's fine. I get it. But I'll answer that in the seat. We played one game. One game.
It was a bad one, worth noting. But I get to an extent where he's coming from here. You honestly have made the point of, okay, so we bet Clemson now against Georgia Southern this week?
Well, I mean, yeah, he's going to be a bully. If he has the potential to be a bully, he's going to be one, and he's going to take it out on this poor Georgia Southern team. As we pointed out with our initial market moves, it opened up 23.5 here at Circa, got bet down to 21. So we'll see if it dips underneath that 21 for Clemson. Maybe look at the first half, potentially. But It's never really good, because I think also as part of that answer a little bit later or at some point in that press conference, he did invoke the, have you ever played football before? It's just never really great. I mean, you could never as a woman understand at all.
My little brain.
Yeah, so I would just say, like, look, he's just not in a good place right now. We know where this program is. It's an average ACC team. And guess what? Being an average ACC team ain't good, because the ACC does not look good through 1 week, and it really hasn't looked great outside of Miami over the last couple of years. And so I think that's just the frustration manifesting for him, and that will also manifest, I think, if given the opportunity, in an absolute beatdown this weekend.
And JVT did make the point earlier on the show, too. If you're looking at that ACC conference odds page, minus 182 for Miami, given the way some of the rest of the league has looked, is that actually cheap, potentially?
What's the price you're looking at?
Minus 182.
Yeah. But don't you think, because again, first off, it's just the way the conference looks. But second, if they make the ACC title game, they will be more than money line $1.82 favorites in that game against whoever they play.
Do they even have a to reach price on them?
I mean, I was going to say, it's going to be very exorbitant.
$5.
Yep. Yeah, it's going to be a hefty price there. So you can lay the $1.82 and then do something with it if you want by the time you get to the ACC championship game. But they'll be heavy favorites when they get there.
Speaking of the ACC, I guess we can grade my bet from last night. We did get the winner on SMU -2.5. We paid the slight juice there, -115. But it was worth it to do so, because that ends up being a winner versus anyone who had to lay the 3 and you get a push. This is... Again, I said it at the top of the show, that was the most ridiculous sweat of all time, considering how outplayed Florida State was throughout the course of the game. The only team that was giving Florida State life was SMU. Like, they went out of their way, it felt like, to just continue to put the ball in their hands and give them opportunities. And like I said, a win's a win, so I'm going to take it, and we'll move on. But that was a very, very frustrating watch for a win that I didn't want it to be.
Is... Kevin Jennings' Heisman hopes dead already?
I wouldn't say dead already.
I guess because plural hopes.
I wouldn't say dead already, no.
Pretty tough.
I don't know how high they were to begin with, though.
Sure. Because we knew this season was about it, right? They had merely made a plain that they wanted to push for him to win it. Two interceptions.
I never think that's a good strategy.
Sure.
The teams and the guys that are going to win the Heisman aren't campaigning for it until the end of the year, right? It's the when you're already sending gift boxes to media and be like, keep an eye on Kevin Jennings for... I just don't think it's a good look, personally.
Gift box? Are you alluding to one that you received?
I didn't get one, no. I'm not that high up on the totem pole yet. Just ask Mike Palm. He tells me every day.
One day, though.
Maybe. A girl can dream. Girl can dream. Last couple minutes here. I know you haven't added anything new to the account, but any games that we didn't get a chance to discuss earlier that are still top of mind for you last few minutes?
Okay, yeah. So let's because we're right on the verge of the NFL season. So I think there's a couple of things that are worth pointing out here. First off, may or may not be right, but Circa has flipped back. So snip, snap, snip, snap. Houston and Buffalo. I've talked a lot about how I think Houston's going to go off as a favorite. Circa was at Texans -1. We're back now to Buffalo -1. So we'll see what that means. But that's one of my plays that we have here. It's also a very strong teaser leg, so I think that's definitely worth bringing up. And again, we're kind of ping-ponging back and forth there. And the one game that we have as part of the pending plays as well might get the best of this at the very least. That 7 that's out there now for Detroit is heavily juiced to the dog side at a lot of different places. South Point, though, tip of the strip for here in Las Vegas. They don't alter the juice, so you can go out there and get a 7 -110, the lone one left on the board right now. And it does seem that we got the best of the number here, and I wanted to bring this up as part of our million conversation. I'm willing to bet we're getting 9.5 with Arizona. Does that change your mind?
A little.
This pending play right now, 10.5, bet that about a week ago. But I would guess that we're going to get 9.5 as the million.
I want the full double digits. 9.5 still isn't the end of the world.
Because the problem is for us, where else are you going to go? I mean, yeah. We can't really, there's, unless we scratch the Cardinals, add the two plays that you and I both like that we don't necessarily agree on. Mine would be, did you agree with the Saints? No, it was the Texans. And then
I'm not anti-Saints, though.
Yeah,
that was one of the ones that was in our TBDs.
No, I think the one was that because what I'm saying is we had two plays that we each had, one of us each, that we didn't agree on. Do we scratch the Cardinals if it's 9.5, input those two plays and use Dallas here regardless of the number? There's a lot of conversations we can have about that.
Maybe read a book. Irregardless isn't a word.
That's a good point.
Jags.
Miami was the other one, too.
My pending teaser as well that we still have out there is Jags -1.5. Lions -1, but even those numbers are on the move. The Jags keep getting bet out 8.5 now in most places, right?
Correct. Non-standard adverb means the same thing as regardless, though it's widely considered incorrect or redundant in formal writing. I'm going to add that to my brain.
I'm surprised you didn't know that.
It's probably like just a big, like a crutch
thing. You're a big
thing.
Corrector.
Yeah, but I like to learn things, too. Unlike you, when I'm presented with new information, I
can
will...
Can I tell you?
Regardless of what I believed, I know.
I got so mad at my little 12-year-old sister this weekend because she was telling everybody about how smart she is because she got in trouble for skipping a couple classes at school. And she said, oh, I learn more on my own outside of school than in school. And then proceeded to use the word tooken. And I said, oh, you're too smart for school. What are we doing? I hope my dad plays this back for Olivia to know she's being publicly shamed.
Don't let him hold you down, girl.
I still love you, though. That's a wrap for us today. Follow the money coming up after this.